Call Uncle. Uncle.
I read something interesting. This is actually really funny, but they were saying people are using Tinder to scope out different areas for coronavirus. Because, you know, like if you have Tinder Gold or whatever it's called, I can change my location to Wuhan. I can change it to whatever, any city I want.
Well, how is it telling you who has it?
So, well, it doesn't tell you who has it, but it's like people are using it to check, to scope out like what's going on in the city, what's the government not telling us, because like there's a lot of like conspiracy about governments only releasing certain amount of information to the public. So people are like putting in Wuhan and stuff and checking and be like matching up with someone on Tinder and then be like, so what's really going on in the streets? Like how many people are infected?
Oh, you mean like they're befriending.
They're just using it as a chat, yeah, to get like the inside scoop for what's really going on in different cities.
That's savvy.
Which is pretty funny. But.
So like literally everyone's a roving reporter like out there just like getting the scoop.
Yeah, it was so funny too because like there was one girl and she was like trying to get like just get information from this guy and she was like, are there barricades on the streets, whatever, and he was like, I'm just trying to fuck. Like he's like, you're trying to fuck her? he's like whatever you need to hear right now, but I'm still trying to fuck though.
In Wuhan, I can't imagine someone from Wuhan saying a comment like that. I'm just trying to fuck.
Yeah, like everyone's like, no, I'm good for a little while, you know. I'm gonna just handle it myself.
What if we turned this show into a politics show? Like, what kind of shit show would that be?
A politics show. Well, I'm not well-versed in politics.
Me neither.
But I still am opinionated. So I'm an ignorant, opinionated person. So I think it would make for a good show.
With no education.
With no knowledge whatsoever, yeah.
I know, it would just be us, like, firing off random miscellaneous comments.
We're wrong about everything.
But I'm, like, happy to not be a part of, like, the political circuit. Like, it's a circus out there.
I'm with you.
And I don't know the first thing. I can't say anything intelligent.
Yeah, but either can they, so, you know.
Yeah, true.
Our country's run by buffoons, so it's totally fine.
So, today, we are talking about something very intricate and interesting called prevalence-induced concept change. Mm. And you sent this to me a while ago, like, check this out and Google it. So I did. And the definition is, it causes people to redefine problems as they are reduced. So
that's right.
Do you want to give us, like, the spark notes of what that means? Well,
basically, they were saying that happiness is becoming increasingly more difficult to attain because of this thing and also because of the other factors that make this even more prevalent, I guess.
Wait, attain or sustain?
Or maybe both.
Okay,
yeah,
both.
Yeah. Which is, and it's basically saying like, let's just use relationships as the easiest example, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was in a relationship with a person that was the totally wrong fit for me, right? Mm-hmm. Recently. And it's like those problems are maybe like very obvious, you know, I guess. So it's like you have a certain, let's just say like the amount of problems we had were 10% of our relationship, right? If there was some sort of like mathematical way of looking at it. And then I get into another relationship and I don't have like nearly as many problems, but because of this sort of this concept or this idea, our brain needs to fill that void by basically increasing the current amount of problems so that it almost equates that.
Got it. So you're still looking for the 10%.
Whatever that like amount is that we like deem to be like the norm or the average, you know, in our brains.
That's
what we do. And so like, you know how you always hear about people, like there's some people that are just attracted to drama, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think everyone is maybe to some extent, but some people very, very much so are attracted to, right? Well, I think that's really is what they're saying. It's like they don't have enough of that like that friction or
that stimulus.
That stimulant or that chaos, right? Or that drama. And so they fill it. They create it. You know what I mean? And it's like, let's be honest, creating drama is very easy to do. Anybody can do it. You know what I mean? Like you can always start shit with your friends or with your loved ones or with your mom or dad or with your lover or whatever, right? So it's like you can fill that void pretty easily by just creating that shit. And so basically they were saying like this is a very normal thing for humans to do is we increase the amount of that, you know, that shit until it like fills that void.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why like even if we had like as close to as perfect of a relationship or perfect situation or job or whatever, we're going to try and figure out like mentally find the things, the small things, and turn them into like bigger things.
Yeah, and I guess that's why people say like, oh, I'm good at self-sabotaging, because they're literally saying I'm looking for the drama that I'm used to.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what it is. So it's like, when I read about this, I realized that this is actually a much more human thing that everyone does to some extent.
Yeah.
And not just like a person maybe that is like a complete fucking disaster. Like, it's just a weird part of our brain that just exists.
Yeah, I think we were like scaling it out to, on a societal level, we're like coherently or cohesively all doing it together.
Yeah, yeah. And so then they were also talking about the things like social media.
Mm-hmm.
Make attaining like what would consider to be like happiness and balance even more difficult, because there's so many more sources of things to like create unhappiness, jealousy, envy, all of the things that are like fighting our path towards balance and happiness and fulfillment and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. So like basically what are we trying to say? Like society or like our current situation, even with social or whatever, is not as bad as we are, or like it's better than ever, but we're just making it, or our perspective is shifting where we're making it worse than it actually is.
I don't know that it's better than ever, but I think what we're trying to say is we are in more control of ourselves than maybe we think we are. If we're aware of the fact that our brain is doing that, we also have the ability to say, wait, hold up. Like, I'm actually making a bigger deal out of something that shouldn't be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever gotten an argument with someone you were dating, and then after the fact, you're like, why the fuck did I get so upset about that? It's not even really that big of a deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
like, after you've calmed down after like 4 hours.
Yeah, like after you calm down. And I think sometimes that is one of those things. It's like we're trying to fill the surplus of conflict in our life or whatever it is.
I know, but like if that's innately within you, like how do you not go for like the next fight? Like even knowing that, you know, it's like for me, I'm like every fight needs to be addressed.
You're like always got your gloves on ready to go.
I'm just, yeah, gotta stay ready.
You're like, hold up, let me get my mouth guard. Let's get it. I don't know. I mean, this is a new revelation for me personally. So I'm like trying to be like more aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like for example, with my mom, I used to get really triggered really easily. Like anyone usually is with their parents, right?
Yeah.
And I would say over the last maybe year or so, I started to sort of stop myself when I felt like my impulse was to like immediately get upset because she said one thing I don't like, right? Which is like so easy to do, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I started to sort of like push pause and say, she doesn't really mean it in that way. She's like not choosing her words carefully, whatever. And it's like, just be like, mm-hmm, and just like let it
pass. But what happens if that other person is also wired and used to you reacting a certain way? So then you take like the Zen approach and they come back at you and they're like, you don't care because now you're not even like talking to me.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think you should do?
I don't know because it's like two to tango for anything, right?
Yeah,
like I could definitely stoop down to someone's level. Like, I'm not so like woke or anything where I'm not gonna just like be the better one that pulls that person up to me. I'm just definitely gonna sink down.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're not gonna do it every time. I mean, you could do it. I think you'd have to be aligned. You guys would have to be on the same page. Have you ever been about to argue like with your man or whatever, and then you both kind of stopped and said, wait, like let's not like get too heated, let's just like talk this out, let's enjoy it because we don't want to ruin the whole day type of thing, and you just kind of like stopped like a runaway train. You know what I mean? Like I've had that happen before, and it was like, you know, you could really go two ways with that. Like you could just go like full on like fury and fire and stuff, or you could just be like, all right, look, we see where this is going, and then you realize later on it probably wasn't even that big of a deal, you know?
Okay, I'm sure I've stopped a few trains from falling completely off the track, but it hasn't been like a calm, like, you know what, let's just reevaluate. It's been like, I'm just going to grudgingly.
Because you want to voice yourself, right?
Yeah, and just like you think, I don't know, I just feel like to be communicative in the right way, I better just like get this off my chest. Otherwise it'll stew and simmer.
Whatever.
And it's going to come up in some other like fucked up passive aggressive move. So I'm like, I better not be passive. Yeah. I better be very aggressive.
Yeah. Very aggressive. I mean, I do agree with you that it's better to be addressed than it is to like let it fester.
Yeah.
Right. And turn into some other bullshit like later on. But I don't, you know, I'm sure there's slightly healthier ways to deal with things than any of us like know about or any of us practice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I think it's just interesting to be aware of this because like, you know, like we've all like had relationships where there was stuff like I was talking about, like, so obviously is bad and toxic and negative. And then we've had relationships where it's like not nearly as bad, but then we like find shit that is not good, you know, in it. And sometimes we have like our friends give us perspective and they'll put it in perspective and be like, that's not even that big of a deal type of thing. You know, like, why are you making it that big of a deal?
But does that work though? Like, does that outside counseling?
And oh, like, for me, it does.
Like if it's a friend's
perspective. If it's a trusted friend. Right? Uh-huh. It's not, if it's someone I don't respect, if it's someone I don't respect or someone who's got major issues themselves, it doesn't matter what they say.
You're like, but thank you for your unsolicited advice.
Exactly. Thank you. Keep going back to fucking old ugly chicks from fucking Tinder.
Oh my God. That's clearly, it's very specific. He's pulling from somebody.
He knows who he is. But I don't know. I just think it's interesting to learn that it's not all just external. You know, a lot of this is internal.
Okay, so it's like about reframing things. Mm-hmm. What about like going back to social media and what you said, or like even technology and stuff like that? Have we made technology out to be some kind of like culprit that it's not when it comes to dating and relationships?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it is a culprit. I think it is the culprit.
I don't think so.
Really?
No, I think it's just exposing us how we are. You know, for example, I'm one of those people that if I'm going to dinner with somebody, out of respect, I could put my phone away and it would be gone all night for dinner. Sure. My point is, even if you gave me technology of 4 different phones and they were all the newest phone on the market, I'm still that same person and I'm not going to touch any of those phones. Well, so it's not technology, it's a person.
Well, that I agree with, because I'm the same way too. Like when I'm with a friend or we're out, whatever, like I'm not fucking with my phone that much. Like I want to be present. What I'm talking about though is like, so some of the stuff that I've read that makes it so much more difficult to be happy, that's in quotes, but happy today, is because of social media now, we are continually inundated with the things that we don't have. And it makes us feel on a subconscious level like we are constantly inadequate. So like before Instagram and like, you know, the internet and all that shit really existed, the most jealous we would get is like one kid at school had that pair of Air Jordans that you really wanted, right? That was it. Now, if I go on Instagram, like if I'm not taking my girl to Tulum, I'm fucking inadequate. You know what I mean? Like if I'm not standing in front of a private jet or on a private jet, I'm inadequate.
Yes, but isn't that your fault for consuming this shit?
Well, I mean, I think we're all human on some level. Some people are more susceptible, some people are less, but even me, like as a person that's not a materialistic person, still sees all this shit, and on some subconscious level, it is like a form of brainwashing. You know, it's like, you have to have this, you have to have a girl that's that hot, you have to have a car that's that nice. You know, it's like, you're not a YouTube influencer, you're not living your full life. You know what I mean? And that's like, I think that's one of the reasons why they say like, the millennial generation is dealing with like the highest amount of like depression right now. Because of that shit, it's like, you're never enough. You never have
enough.
Yeah,
it's like the whole like compare to spare situation.
Yeah, and the truth is, can you really compete with any of that? Even if you had that chick that's like the hottest Instagram chick and you got to be a YouTube influencer and you had money and you had a private jet, do you really think all those people are truly fulfilled and happy? Like, no.
No, there's always something that's going to the chopping block. Like today, for example, I just was online on Facebook in my newsfeed, and this one girl that was in my acting class from like years ago has come on this show or something as a recurring person. And she was not shitty as an actor like when we were in class, but it's not someone I would have given attention to, you know? So I'm just like, wow. But then I think to myself like, okay, but then look at her life. She chose that career path or whatever, and she invested everything in her career. I don't know what her love life is like. Like for me, I know that I'm happy. I'm just not happy career-wise.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, but I think like going back to your example of before, it was just that one person with the Air Jordans.
Yeah.
The point is, you still felt inadequate, whether it was like 10 people now online with Air Jordans and not you, or just that one motherfucker on the corner block with the Air Jordans. The point is, you're still feeling inadequate.
Yeah. I think it's a scale though. It's like not having that one thing that one kid has.
Yeah.
We can deal with that. And also I can like mow my lawn, you know, all summer long and get enough money to get that thing, right? But I can never, there's no fucking way I can compete with what I see on Instagram. I just can't, you know what I mean? But the truth is like, we shouldn't feel like we have to, but on some level we do, like as a population we do. But I mean, the truth is like, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce are, they're getting in arguments all the time too. You know what I mean? And they're, you know, sleeping in different rooms on certain nights and not fucking and getting jealous of each other about certain shit all the time too. And they would be like what many people to consider to be like the greatest couple ever, right?
But no, it's like, but
whatever,
know
what you know what I'm saying. They're like the billionaire power couple, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But so I don't know. I mean, it's, I think just like to be aware of the fact that what we're chasing, and when I say we, I mean like all of us as a society, is not really like what we should be chasing, you know? It's one thing to like want to be ambitious and want to achieve the things you want to achieve in life, but to be driven by the materialism and the image, I don't think is like a good recipe. I think that is, no matter what, that is going to like result in this unhappiness or this depression that a lot of people are experiencing right now.
But I also think like what you're saying now kind of enforces this whole like concept.
The prevalence thing?
Yeah, because it's like, okay, so Jay-Z and Beyonce post a photo of them on a trip and like it didn't cost them a dime compared to the billions that they make, right? Like, so they're just there on a trip or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're all like, ooh, that means that they're in love, they're successful, and they have this great life. Like, we literally prevalence-induced concept, whatever, like, that particular image.
Yeah.
Or, like, just posted an innocent photo, and we filled in everything.
You're right. It's like we made a bunch of false assumptions.
Like, so, like, I think it is, it comes down to us, and, like, we just, the thing is, we consume content without any context.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you put something on with Air Jordans, and you worked all summer mowing that lawn, you didn't post the part about you mowing the lawn. You just posted the end result. So what I'm saying is, it's like, I might look at that and feel inferior, but that's literally me causing a problem for myself, because I'm used to me as a person having some kind of conflict going on.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. If I pull up any Instagram influencer personality, like there's a lot of like these like travel, I don't even know what they really
are. The travel couples.
What are they?
They're really making me jealous out there.
Yeah, I mean, that is their sole purpose, is to make you jealous, right?
And like, I want to be a part of that.
Of course. I want to be one of those things too. I don't even know what it is.
I want to ride every single animal there is to ride across the globe.
How are they like always in the dopest hot tubs across the world? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, like is there a list?
Every pool is an infinity pool everywhere. Like, what? I've never been to any of these places. Like, where are these places? You know, it's like, but the truth is like, what we see is only what they want us to see, right?
Yeah.
And we are making this assumption that these people's lives are absolutely fucking perfect.
Because they edited out their big ass spider bite on their ass. Like,
everything they've edited out, you know? Like all the fights they've had, all the fucking, you know, like the side shit that they're dealing with and the fucking jealousy and the, you know.
Okay, so the new question is, do we beat them or join them? Which one?
Let's talk it through. How do we beat them? That's the first thing.
They get on a camel. We get on a camel, okay?
they buy a husky, I buy a rat, okay? I got a pet, you got a pet. Both got pets.
Okay, so beat 'em is tit for tat.
Okay.
Wait, is that beat 'em or join 'em?
Well, that's, okay, that's going to be really difficult to compete with, okay? Because we simply don't have the means to do the things that they're doing, right? So, like, how do you compete? I don't know.
No, but all these, like, fucking couples are out there, these adventure couples, and they're like, we're working remotely from blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what is your job?
I know. Like, I'm in a hammock in a treehouse above the lost Mayan city of whatever. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Like, what the fuck is going on, man?
I'm here getting Wi-Fi in El Dorado under the sea. Like, what the fuck?
Under the sea. Underwater people? What the fuck is going on out there, man? Jesus. These motherfuckers got gills.
Okay, but look, I'm just going to admit right now, I am jealous, so...
Yeah, I am too. But this is like, literally, this is my point. Like, it does affect us. You know what I mean? It does.
Yeah, I won't say that it doesn't, but it's like, now the argument is it our fault? Like, I think a lot of the problems that we have mentally are our fault. Like, the dating,
You mean personally speaking?
Yeah.
Not societally speaking.
Even like, we have like a general consensus. Like, you know how... Oh, millennials are spoiled or whatever. Like, that's a general societal dialogue or whatever. Another one of those when it comes to, like, dating relationships is that it's so hard to date out there and it's so fucked up because of technology, because of apps, because of, like, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It might not actually be true. We have so much selection and, like, access to anyone on Earth right now. Mm. You know, it's like, that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
If we don't ruin it with some other notion.
Sure, yeah. I don't know, like... in terms of fault, I would say it's partially the fault of society for creating things that are not maybe well governed, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they're just, they're like wildfire that's just like, you know, does whatever the fuck it wants to. But yeah, I also do agree with you that it is also our just personal responsibility to pick and choose what we do want to be influenced by, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think awareness is step one. You know, like, awareness, like, even having this conversation with you right now, it enhances my personal awareness to not feel triggered and jealous every time I see some shit on Instagram that makes me feel inadequate or inferior. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I am kind of jealous. It seems like a dope life, traveling around and eating and food blogging and fucking sleeping in hammocks and shit. Seems dope, yeah. I mean, it does. But it doesn't have to be like, I don't have to like take it so like emotional, internalize it so emotionally where all of a sudden now I look in the mirror and I'm not happy with myself.
Yeah, like, what did I do with my life?
Yeah.
I didn't end up on that path.
Yeah. And it's like, who's to say like what I do for a living or for my life or maybe just being a good father is more important than any of that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, there's nobody that says like one is better than the other. It's just that we're sort of taught that one is, you know, societally, like, this is like what you're trying to accomplish. But what's wrong with like just having a person that you love and having a little kid and having a little house somewhere in the middle of nowhere and just like raising your family and just, what's wrong with that? You know what I mean?
I guess because everything has to be binary for us. Like, it's like this or that, like black or white or whatever.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing you said was about things being governed, like, especially when it comes to online.
Mm.
And you know how we have rules on the road, like you stop at a red light or whatever. It's like literally online, there are no rules. You could be online mm-hmm. for like 48 hours on like an online bender and no one's going to regulate that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the problem.
I do think that is a problem. Yeah. Yeah. How long, like how many hours a day do you think you're on social media?
Less than an hour? Cumulatively between all platforms.
I'd say probably about an hour myself as well.
Fuck no.
What do you mean?
On there all the time.
What are you talking about?
Oh, excuse me. Every single day on Instagram messages, I see a green dot that says active now.
Wait, that doesn't mean you're on it. What does that mean?
That means you are on it, motherfucker.
It just means you're logged into it or something.
No, no,
what are you
talking
about?
It means you are doing activity. You are on the news feed.
No.
At every single...
First of all...
Okay, no. There's no way there's a coincidence that you are on at the exact same time I am on and therefore green dot.
Of course there is. Of course there is. I wait till your green dot comes up and then I get on it. That's what happens.
But how do you know my green dot's on?
I just know these things, okay?
Oh my God.
Listen, real talk. I'm not even fucking around. I am on it, like I go on Instagram probably, I don't know, 10 times a day, okay? Go on it. But I only go on it to like check stories of my friends quickly. Like,
okay.
I've never gone through the, what do you call it, news feed?
Yeah,
like, is that the one that's like a magnifying glass?
It's like the one where you like one donut and then all of a sudden there's only donuts.
Never go
in
on
your,
it. Yeah. Never go on it. Because because I have been on it before, that's where you get sucked in for an hour. Like, that's where you just...
But how else do you know about these adventure couples unless you follow their ass? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do follow some of these bloggers and shit. But I know about the shit. But, okay, I would say cumulative is an hour a day.
Okay.
But even that, to me, that's a lot. That's an hour of every day of my life.
Yeah.
That's probably too fucking much. Like, why am I on
this
shit for an hour?
And we love sleeping. It's like, we could be doing that.
Yeah, and I'm sleep deprived all the fucking time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why am I on the shit for even that long, you know?
Yeah.
Have you ever done, like, a moratorium or whatever you call it? Like, just,
what?
Like, shut, like, sign out for, like, a week? Like, no social media for a week type
of
thing?
No, because I've never had to do that because I have self-control, actually, when it comes to... don't choke on your Pellegrino like that.
Don't blow my spot because I'm drinking fancy ass water right now.
No, I have self-control. I've never been like, I never woke up like 3 hours later from a social media coma and been like, what the fuck? I've never done that. So it's like,
I have done that before. I have laid in bed on a Saturday morning before and blown my whole hour just like in one go.
No.
And been like, why did I do that? That was so fucking dumb, you know?
No, there's like residual like resentment that you have towards
yourself.
I could never do that.
What about YouTube? You fuck with YouTube?
Yeah, I mean, like, the worst that it gets is that I watch, like, some shitty movie on Netflix, and then I'm like, wow, I could have really just not done that.
Well, movies and TV I love, but I love for like the art form, you know, like I love.
Yeah, but what about just like some shitty one that like just
like
happens?
Love is blind.
Yeah,
bring us back.
I'm kind of like upset with myself
now.
Like,
why did we do it? I don't know.
No, but it's like I had to see it through. Like that's where the problem is. Like we're so loyal that we had to see all 11 episodes because of loyalty. Like after two, you're like I'm invested now.
Yeah, but I think it was worth it. Simply for the, like, you know, sort of social, psychological sort of aspect just to be able to, like, dive into it and be like, what the fuck is going on type of thing. But it is trash, though. Let's be honest. It's just mindless trash.
But also, too, okay, like, going back to this whole conversation, like, how amazing is it that we live in a world where this fucking manifests? Like, you know?
Right. Yeah, that this is like, this goes viral.
Like, or this whole social experiment was even accepted by the masses. Like, oh, I want to tune in and see what this is about.
Yeah. What if we did a 1 week no social media experiment?
Like, I change your password, you change mine.
We could just agree to log out and not log in. I don't need to give you my bank account information.
That's what I was going for, but okay.
But what if we did that? I mean, I wonder... Like, if there's things that we're not even considering that might be, like, you know, just interesting things that come out of that experiment, you know?
I would just busy myself with something else. Like, it's one of those things where it's, like, if it's not occupied with A, it's going to be with B. Like, that's the thing. I'll find something else to fill it. Yeah. Kind of like the problem thing. It's, like, you don't have this problem, you'll find some other one to be, like, occupying your time.
What would be your thing?
Probably making... more YouTube videos. I don't know. Like
okay. Well, creating, that's
a
good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
Creating is a good thing. Exercising, maybe. I'd probably be eating a little bit more, you know. Probably up my eating.
It's like twofold.
But I wonder, like, even just, like, psychologically, if it would start to have an impact, you know, in some way where it's, like, I am not even thinking about it. You know,
I think it'd have to be more than a week. Like, you know how it's like a drug addiction. Mm-hmm. When you first get off, it's the hardest, right? Mm. So it's like, you might be like, oh, what am I missing out there? And then...
FOMO, you're right. FOMO's going to set in after a couple days.
You're like, oh my God, did I forget someone's birthday? Like, what the fuck? You know, that kind of thing.
Fuck, I kind of want to do it for a week and then report back on an episode.
Okay, yeah, why not?
Yeah. But maybe not this week. Let me figure out a good week to do it.
It's mid-July.
I just want to follow that coronavirus, man. I don't want to be off the grid yet. I just want to see where it's going. I need to know.
I know, but if it's not corona, it's going to be some other shit.
I know.
It literally is the slowest media month because if it wasn't corona, they'd be covering some other kind of tragedy out there.
Probably.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I'm sure. They'd be making up something.
Okay, wait. I have like a wild card question. Mm. Do you think that people's thoughts on divorce is like problematic or like divorce itself, the fact that people can have it and like the divorce rate is as high as it is at 50%? Mm. Like, I want to argue that it's a good thing that people can get a divorce.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, why do you think it's a good thing?
Because you're willing to admit that, like, hey, this isn't working out, and I don't want to be stuck in a facade forever.
Sure.
Like, I think that's actually empowering.
Okay, follow-up question. Do you think it's too easy, though? Like, do you think because divorce is now considered... It's not even really, like, that taboo. I mean, in some cultures it is, you know? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's, like, a lot of people get divorced, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it's, like, people give up too easily now because they're just like, fuck it, I'm just going to get a divorce?
I mean, I think that's true, too. And, again, it comes down to, like, these protocols are not governed. Like, the same way we talked about online, it's not governed or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't go through, like, this 10-point process and then be like, okay, you qualify for a divorce. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that.
Yeah.
It could just be like, I'm done. Goodbye. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's not that I advocate divorce, and it's not that I would ever want that for myself, but the point is like, I think that it has a bad stigma where it could actually be a good thing. Because some people, like for women for example, were never able to leave shitty marriages where like people were cheating on them and blah blah, because they needed to stay married for the sake of the family unit or because they had to depend financially on their husband.
Yeah,
the fact that they can today, I think, is like a good thing.
Yeah, to answer your question, I agree with all of that. I mean, as a guy who is divorced, who has, you know, was married, I can't even imagine if I was never given that option, you know? If I had to stay stuck in a really neglectful and even, like, you know, abusive in some ways relationship for the rest of my life. I can't imagine. And the thing is, like, if you had to do it, you would do it.
Yeah.
But that would fucking suck. Because that would mean the rest of my life is in some way heavily tainted by a black spot, you know, by a major source of unhappiness. And that I wouldn't get to feel love again for the rest of my life, or that level of intimacy or love. And that's sad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for me, personally, I tried as much as I possibly could do before we even crossed that. Like, I mean, years of trying
mm-hmm.
before we finally were like, okay, it's dead. There's nothing we can do at this point. And as a result of that, I get a second chance of life at life, and it's actually been amazing since then. I've had so many, like, great experiences. But I also do think that people shouldn't just default to the first sign of trouble, like, let's just get a divorce. Because if that's your inclination, well, that's going to be your pattern. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's going to be the next relationship and the next one after.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think we also do need to understand that, like, relationships are going to be ups and downs, and there's always going to be, like, hard times and obstacles and things that we have to, like, band together and, like, you know, weather the storm, you know?
Uh-huh. I just don't think it should be tied to, like, divorce equals failed, like, marriage.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily a failed marriage. It's just, like, these two people, for whatever, sometimes it is a failed marriage, whatever, but, like, half the time it's just these two people could not anticipate that they were going to be different people.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah. People, and I mean, what is the definition of failed marriage anyway? You know, it's like,
people are living failed marriages. Like, yeah. They're, like, in them, and
I would say most of the people that I know that are married
are in failed marriages.
I don't know if I would use the word failed, but you could say failed because they're unhappy marriages. I'm not exaggerating. Probably 80% of people I know are, like, in unhappy marriages. So it's like, I don't think that there should be a stigma. I think if you're, you know, you try as hard as you can, and but people also, like, should understand that over 10, 15 years or whatever, we all evolve and change as human beings. And the person that we fell in love with and whatever, we're not the same people anymore. And sometimes mm-hmm. you really do just go separate ways, and that fucking sucks and it's sad, but there shouldn't be a stigma about that.
You know? It should be, like, a liberation or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we try as hard as we can to, like, make this work, but if it doesn't, good people, I, like, firmly believe good people deserve to be happy. You know,
mm-hmm.
should not have to stick out something just because you think it's the right thing to do. No, it's not the right thing to do. You know, it's not right for anybody. It's not right for the kids and
stuff. Wait, so you're saying that 80% of people are actually staying in marriages that they would otherwise leave?
Of the people I know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, staying as of today, like, I don't know what next year is going to bring or the year after.
Oh, that, like, they know? Could turn it all around and be, like, madly in love. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, they could get divorced next year.
Oh,
divorced the year after that.
I see.
Like, some people have longer staying power, you know, or some people's problems are not so drastic where it's like, they're like, I got to get out of this shit now, you know?
Yeah.
Mine were, like, real bad, and I still stuck it through for, like, 5 bad years, you know?
Well, then it begs the question, like, would you rather be unhappy with somebody or be unhappy alone, you know, like, because single people are like, well, at least you have someone.
It depends what type of unhappy you're talking about. Because if you're talking about, like,
loneliness, or, like, say,
well,
that, for example.
Okay. If it's just, like, kind of a boring, unfulfilling, but, like, even keel sort of marriage, but you're not, like, super happy, but it's also not, like, toxic.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that that's the worst thing in the world. Because you have companionship.
Yeah, you belong to somebody.
You have somebody in your life to talk to. And that's okay. Not every marriage. Like, I don't think there's any marriage in the world that's, like, always exciting from start to finish. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, every moment was amazing, you know?
No.
Every time we fucked, it was awesome. Like, no. Sometimes I just put it in and wiggled it around. And then
we just
went about our days. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like,
the vocabulary. Wiggled.
But put it in and wiggle it about. Sounds like Mr. Rogers.
Oh my!
You gotta put it in and wiggle it about.
Was he from the South or, like, whatever?
I don't know.
You just did.
I don't know. But if you're, like, in a marriage where it's like you are on a daily, like, basis neglected, verbally and psychologically abused and shit like that.
Yeah.
No, man. Like, I would rather be single and fucking lonely than that any day of the week. You know what I mean? Because at
but
least
maybe
you
don't
have
to
deal with
that. But maybe it's because you've had that under your belt. Like, if you've never had a taste of that, you'd be like, fuck, that's what I want.
Fuck, that's what I want.
I want to be, like, arguing so badly with somebody.
It's not, I don't know, man. I don't. Maybe some people like it, but I don't have an appetite for like neglect.
Because you've been there, I think.
Yeah, that's... maybe. And I've definitely, and there's moments like since then where I have been lonely, you know, like I have been single and lonely, you know?
Yeah.
And I still found so much more peace in that, you know, than like coming home to someone who was angry every fucking day, you know? Like, I would much rather have that.
Honestly, I think it's because you had it, so you have something to compare it to. If you had nothing to compare it to, come on.
I don't know. I'm just telling you, it's not. Have you ever been with someone where it was like being around them was like being in a minefield, you know?
Yes, you know what I mean? Have.
And it's like you're just walking on eggshells, just hoping they don't blow every fucking little thing.
I'm that's just hoping not that they feeling. Don't make me blow up. Like, that's been my situation in the past.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like that.
I didn't either, but it's like, I think we're just better for it. I don't know. I constantly elect to go with, like, glad I had that experience.
Oh, well, I agree with you. It did make me stronger, and it did make me more aware of, like, what is, you know, what I am looking for, mm-hmm. and what's important, and what I don't have tolerance for anymore, you know?
Otherwise, I think you would just be like a jellyfish, just kind of like, you know, trotting out there like aimlessly and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
That's why people would be like, I would give anything to have even like a dysfunctional relationship.
Right. Right. Because it is like something.
Yeah. It's like at least a taste of that experience mm-hmm. or whatever.
Right. And then you could put your photos of your trip with each other, like all over the world and stuff. Put
minus
them on
the
Instagram.
Toxic photos.
Yeah, yeah. Forget about, you know, forget about the fights and the infidelity. It's fine.
Making shit up. All right. Well, we want to hear from you. What's been the best dating or relationship disaster turned blessing in disguise that you've ever had?